Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Can't start a fire. Can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Even if you were a Trump supporter, if you were watching cable TV last night, I'm sure it was hard to not get chills as Bruce Springsteen sang at the big finale rally for Hillary Clinton in Philadelphia.
Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face. Man, I ain't getting nowhere. Just living in a dump like this.
Man, he was good, and just him and his guitar. And with us now for a few minutes, the governor of Pennsylvania, Democrat Tom Wolf. Governor, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. Welcome to WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you. And I was there last night. I heard Bruce Springsteen. He was great.
I know. And that was some event with Bruce and Barack and Michelle and Bill and half the Democratic world all on the same stage, it seemed. Was the big finale in Philadelphia because the state is that close?
I can't believe it's that close. I ran and won 2 years ago on basic issue of fairness, and that's what Hillary Clinton is running on. And I think she was there because it was a good place to end the campaign. That was where it started. She won the nomination in Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention. This is where the nation started. So it was a really appropriate place. And I got to tell you, gave me goosebumps sitting on the stage looking out over Independence Mall to Independence Hall and seeing all those people.
You dodged a bullet with the Philadelphia transit strike getting settled yesterday, right where Clinton needs massive turnout. Is service back to normal this morning?
Yeah, I voted this morning in my hometown in York County, and I'm on my way right now to Philadelphia, but I think things started to get back to normal yesterday evening. But in Philadelphia, the polling stations are actually within walking distance of everybody's home. That was the but by design. So even had the transit strike continued, I think the turnout would have been strong anyway. But you're right, with the strike settled, that eliminates any uncertainty.
Yeah, the risk was that it would take people longer to do the other things in their lives, go and to and from work, and then maybe voting would have fallen by the wayside for too many. But anything to report from the polls? Long lines or Trump vigilantes intimidating people or anything else?
I haven't seen any intimidation, any example of that, but I have seen a lot of long lines. And I think it's going to be a good day for democracy. The people are voting. This is the way the system is supposed to work. Everybody has spent a lot of time making sure that the vote is a free and fair one. I think Pennsylvania is one of 28 states that the Department of Justice has sent hundreds of inspectors out to make sure that there is no intimidation. There are no folks on either side or any of the sides trying to intimidate or disturb this vote.
Assuming Trump loses and gets largely written off by his party as basically a reprehensible person, are there lessons for you as governor of Pennsylvania, not from Trump himself, but from the passions of people in parts of the state who found that Trump gave voice to their feelings?
Yeah. I mean, however this turns out, we have the job has to be to address the issues of inequality and unfairness that exists in our society. I mean, the International Monetary Fund has talked about the problems of inequality, income inequality, and how that is not a good thing for an economy. The unfairness that exists in hiring, in compensation, all those things are bad things for any functioning economy, and we've got to address those things. So I think this election has made it crystal clear that we have to continue the work that we have. The journey this country's been on for 240 years, and that is to make a fair, more perfect union, and we have to continue that. And I think this election reflects that dynamic. We've got to do that, whoever wins.
One of Trump's big lies, I think, is that he can bring back, quote unquote, large numbers of the old manufacturing jobs. As governor of a state that's been hit hard by their loss, how much do you think the old manufacturing jobs can be brought back to Pennsylvania by any president?
Well, actually, I am governor. I've been governor for a little less than 2 years in Pennsylvania. But before that, I actually ran a business. And we did make stuff in the United States. And we're very successful in competing head-on with overseas manufacturers. This is where the market is. We have a great workforce, and we have all the ingredients of a successful manufacturing economy. I mean, you hear that they call it reshoring, and companies, big companies like General Electric and medium-sized companies like mine, are finding that this is a place to do. So, yeah, I think manufacturing jobs can be brought back to the United States. And I think it's just a recognition that this time when people went off chasing low wages and casual regard for regulations in other countries, that time has passed and people are rediscovering the merits of actually making things right here where we sell them in the United States.
So at least to that point, was Trump on point with some of his things, from forcing a renegotiation of NAFTA, which I gather the government has the power to do but hasn't done, to boycotting Oreos because Nabisco moves a plant to Mexico?
I think it's sort of ironic, isn't it, that the person talking about those things makes his hats in China and neckties and wear India and anywhere but the United States to be talking about that. I think the thing that people are going to separate in their minds as they vote today is that we do have to address head on the issues of unfairness, but that person, a particular candidate, is not the person to do it. He hasn't done it anywhere, anytime in his life, and there's no
right.
Indication that he would start doing that now.
But assume a Clinton win. What do you, as governor of Pennsylvania, want from the federal government in 2017 to help facilitate the bringing back or the creation of new manufacturing jobs? Do some of the tariff policies that Trump would want to use, at least as a threat, he says, or punishments of some kinds against American companies who threaten to take other jobs out of the country, be something you're calling for?
Yeah, I think there are strategic industries, and we ought to support those industries. But I think the main thing that will make American manufacturing what it needs to be is to invest in things like infrastructure, invest in education, invest in worker training, invest in making sure that we have a fair system for wages. We don't have we don't discriminate when it comes to compensation. We have a fair and decent minimum wage. That we have non-discrimination in the workplace and in our society. Those are things that are going to make for a healthy, strong economy. And all you have to do is look at places like Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania that are thriving right now because folks are flocking to that place because it's open, it's fair, it has great universities. And I think those are the things that are going to make our economy continue to hum. And those are the things that Hillary Clinton stands for, and those are the things that I've been working for myself.
So last question, and I know you got to go, and so one more policy question, and since you mentioned great universities, what do you think about the free public college plan? The state would have a financial obligation there, as I understand the plan. Is that in your state's interest?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's in my state's interest to make a college higher education affordable and relevant. And we simply can't have students graduating from college with tens of thousands, in some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars of student debt. That's not going to work for them. It's not going to work for their families. It's not going to work for the rest of us who have to bear the cost of those students, those kids trying to pay off those huge student loans. So we need to address that. And Hillary Clinton has been focused on college affordability, and every state, I think, has an interest. Every citizen has a self-interest in trying to figure out how to do that right.
So yes from you to free public college for people from families making less than about $125,000 a year, paid for by a tax on the top few percent.
That's certainly an improvement over where we are now. I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm working on some things that are slightly different than that, but the end is the same. It is to make higher education affordable. However we get there, I'm happy to have a robust conversation and debate as to how we get there. What Hillary Clinton is proposing is a big improvement over where we are right now.
The governor of Pennsylvania, Democrat Tom Wolf, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. I hope all the voting goes smoothly. I hope nobody's disenfranchised. I hope you have massive turnout of Pennsylvanians expressing themselves in our democracy today freely and openly. And thank you again very much for a few minutes.
Thank you. It's been great being with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC on this election day 2016. We've been inviting you to tweet or call in with who you're dedicating your vote to today. And let's take a few more of those right now. We have some great tweets coming in. Use the hashtag #DedicateTheVote. Somebody wrote, I dedicated my vote to the undocumented Latinos that have no voice. Somebody else wrote, brought an old family photo to the voting booth today. My grandmother would be so amazed by today's historic vote. Another person wrote, I dedicate my vote for my black Kentucky grandmother, after being taken from school in fourth grade, read Sunday Times all week, got a high school diploma at 65. And another listener, vote dedicated to Geraldine Ferraro. I cried when she was on the ticket, my first wake up that women had always been absent. And we have a few more on the phone, too. Let's see. Jen in Seaport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jen. You're dedicating your vote today.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank
Great
you.
Great show.
Who are you dedicating your vote to?
My mother.
Because?
Well, she died 2 years ago. She adored Hillary, and she chose to go back to work in the early 60s before anybody did that. It was a choice, and she had five kids, and we got ourselves up, and we got ourselves to school. And she would never have called herself a feminist, but if she were alive today, she'd be so happy. And I'm getting a little emotional. I'm my 18-year-old daughter. I'm waiting for her to come on the train from New York, and we're going to vote together. And I also am bringing a picture of my mom to the voting booth. So.
Yeah. You have,
what an amazing day.
Have you ever voted with your... Oh, your daughter is 18,
daughter,
so this is the first
18,
time.
It's her first vote.
She'll never forget it, Jen.
Oh, no, she won't. So thanks for your coverage. Thanks for all the great information. And go Hillary.
Jen, thank you for your call. Isadora in South Norwalk. You're on WNYC. Hi, Isadora. You're dedicating your vote?
Yes, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I'm dedicating my vote to my brother. It took 30 years to become a citizen, so today was actually my very first time voting. So this was my first year as a citizen, and this was my first year voting. And so because it was such a big deal, my mom came with me, and we were super emotional. I mean, we walked out of there completely in tears. It would have been nice to have my brother come with us so that all three of us could have voted at the same time. But unfortunately, because he passed away, you know, my mom voted this morning, and then she came up, and then I got to vote, which was very nice. My mom also voted for the first time ever in her 50s, also because of a lengthy citizenship process issues. So it was very emotional. I'm still kind of, like, shaken. So
I hear
it's,
it.
It's just... To become a citizen was a huge, amazing thing. My immigration lawyer has shown up to every event in my life. We've become very close. But, you know, to have all these things happen in a row and have the first time that I'm able to vote, be able to vote for a female president was huge for me. I mean, my mom and I, this is a day that we will never forget ever. It's bittersweet that my brother couldn't be there. And I actually legally changed my name to include my brother's name.
Wow.
So my name is, his name is Gassel, and he is now part of my middle name.
That
and
is so beautiful.
And so it showed up on the ballot. Yeah, thank you. So, you know, that's kind of like how I included him in there. Oh, my God, I'm so shaken.
Did you know, other callers have talked about their emotion around voting for a first woman. You also have your new citizenship status. Can you put that into words a little bit, the emotion you're feeling around that as you vote?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I had to dedicate today's vote to several things, it would absolutely be another person mentioned to undocumented immigrants. It took 30 years to become a citizen because I fell into the age-out law, and it took citizens who understood that that was not a moral way to treat people going about the immigration process legally to start deporting children. It took citizens to change that, you know, and it took information getting to the right people to do the right thing. And so to now be able to vote on issues myself, understanding the immigration process completely, I'm an artist and all of my artwork revolves around immigration. Hmm. So to be able to now be on the other side and be able to help people that were, that are now where I was when I started is a huge responsibility, but also a huge honor because I had people doing that for me. You know, I had people paying for my college education because of the types of visas that I had at a given time didn't match what was happening in my life. So when I was a student, I was on my mom's visa, so I couldn't accept the scholarships that I had earned. And so friends got together and paid for my education.
Wow. And so with immigration such an issue in the campaign, it must have amped up all of that for you even more.
Yes, it was really emotional. Sometimes you just have to turn it off. And I've learned, yeah. I came here when I was 9. And so to be judged always by an alien number or a piece of paper,
yeah.
When I received my deportation letter at the age of 21, back then they were actually individually signed by one person. So you could see that person's name that had made that decision who had to make that final decision. And so it's difficult to watch the things that are said about immigration because I've had to live through them. So I'm very educated on the things that are true and the things that are fact,
yeah.
And the things that are used to turn people on immigrants,
yes.
You know, and to use them as scapegoats. And that's frustrating. I'm hoping to be able to change that. I often visit schools and talk about immigration as an artist and why I do what I do. And so I feel that if the opinions that are out there, which are so vast about illegal immigration, are so negative, then it's my responsibility to try and educate people about the actual facts on immigration.
Isadora, thank you so much for your call. Congratulations on your citizenship. Congratulations on your first vote. Congratulations on making your brother's name part of your name, which is so unbelievably beautiful. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and happy Election Day.
Thank you so much, Brian. I love your show.